You're listening to the New Community Podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope that this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Question for you. Sometimes my kids and I, we play this game, and I don't remember the last time it was, but we were driving down the street, and one of them said, I think there's a dog laying on the side of the road, and one of my kids like, what would it be like to be like a dog? Just lay around, not have to go to school, right? And we've probably all had these thoughts at times, like, oh, to be a bird, oh, to be this or that. So with that in mind, I want you to think about this. Imagine you're going through a difficult season of life. There's circumstances that are difficult. There's relationships that are stressful, that are pressing. And you have one prayer to pray. And you can't ask God to change anything. You can't ask him to change the circumstances or the situation or the relationships or things as they are, hypothetically speaking. You can't ask him for any of that. You can only ask him one thing. And what you can ask him is, God, may I be like, and then you fill in the blank with an animal. Now, you're not really going to turn into that animal, get it, but metaphorically speaking, God, in this season, I can't ask for any of this to change, but I ask you to make me like a blank animal. What animal would you pick? In fact, what I'd love for you to do is maybe turn, because some of you are calling out, turn to the person to the left, to the right, and just say, I would ask God to make me a blank, and then give like a short 4 or 5 words why. So, go for it. I hear lots of laughing going on. So, curiosity. Out of curiosity, like, what's something someone said over here? An eagle? Did I hear right? Eagle? And I'm assuming so you can, like, fly above and, like, woo-wee, see you later. Like, so you got eagle, and there was some chatter right in here. A giraffe. So you can, like, because they're cute. Okay, and they can like, see you later, right? What's something else? Octopus? A what? Cockroach, what'd you say? A cockroach? I would be a cockroach because they can just get away. Okay, all right. I didn't see that coming, but we'll go with a cockroach. Anybody else? It's all good. Okay, a dog?
They don't resist their master, they yield.
A dog doesn't resist, they just yield to their master. One more. One more time, Debbie. A sloth. I didn't see that one. Of all the things I would envision you guys would say, I didn't see cockroach or sloth coming. A lion. Rawr. Right, yeah. A dove.
A stud.
A stud. All right. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. You think this is just fun and games, right? This is Wednesday night. Like, Gerald, where are you going? Did you know there's actually a promise in the Bible that God says, I'll make you like an animal when you're going through difficult times? Did you know that? There's actually a promise in the Bible that one of the prophets speaks of, giving you a hint, and he says, God, in this season, you're going to make me like, and he picks a particular animal. It wasn't a sloth nor a cockroach or anything else that was mentioned. And I would be willing to wager, if I was a betting dude, that probably nobody in the room picked what this prophet said God promised to make you and I. More on that in a bit. So it's about 612 BC. It's the 7th century BC. There's a prophet on the scene. And God has basically warned the people of Judah, the southern tribes of Judah, turn back to me, but they had turned away from God. They began to worship other gods. And over a period of several years, God had warned them, turn back to me or there'll be consequences. And the people of Judah continued to disobey God. And the judgment was about to come, and it was going to come at the hands of the super world power at the time known as the Babylonians. And there's a particular prophet on the scene that sees this coming, that senses God saying, judgment is coming on my people. And he's confused and he's distraught. And this is what he says. It's actually the opening words of his book, if you will. It's a little prophetic book or a letter It's found in, it's called Habakkuk. It's back there in the part of the Bible where often the pages are still stuck together. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The prophet says this. How long, Lord? How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and conflict abounds. And his response is the same as nearly every human response in the midst of conflict, difficulty, tension, situations, be it mentally, emotionally, relationally, or vocationally that we don't like. His response is this: how long do I have to put up with this? How long until, God, you're going to do something? He's feeling, I think, perhaps what many of us at times have felt, where we just like, and we even say things like this: I don't know if I can take anymore. We use phrases like, I feel like I'm in over my head. I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm about to snap, or I'm about to break, or I'm about to crash. I'm at my wit's end. I'm at the end of my rope. And what we want, most of us, is, God, stop it. God, help. And what we mean by help is like, do away with this and do away with it quickly. And the prophet just simply says, how long, Lord? And he's confused, not just because of how long do we have to put up with this, but he is having a hard time believing that God is going to use the godless military machine of the Babylonians to execute judgment on God's own people. That God's going to use these pagan people to bring judgment on his seemingly godly people. And Habakkuk actually goes toe-to-toe with God and confronts God. He's bewildered and he's puzzled because he can't quite figure out why God is doing this. Things don't make sense. And he takes it to God and he basically tells God, in not so many terms, God, you're doing a lousy job of being God. I'm not sure you're cut out for this. Do you know what you're doing? And he's just simply saying, how long? Maybe another way to put it like this would be, can you remember a season in your life where you said, I don't know how much more I can take? Where you said, I don't know how much more I can endure. I don't know if I can get through this. I'm in way over my head. You are spent emotionally, relationally, mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. Everything just seemed bankrupt. And this is Habakkuk's reality. This is all he can see. And what's amazing is you walk through the three little short chapters of this book, he goes from complaining and he moves to this place of waiting. He moves to this place of praying. And then he moves even further to this place of listening. And then he moves beyond the listening to where he begins speaking again. And when he begins to speak after he goes through this circle, when we get to the end of this little book in chapter 3, verse 17, he essentially says, God, if nothing changes, I'm all right. If you don't change anything that I want you to change, he goes from saying how long to so what. If nothing changes, God, I'm standing. And he says, and I will worship you. Check it out. It's some amazing poetic words. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, he says this: though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive tree fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen or cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. He starts with saying, like, how long are you going to do this? How long are you going to let this last? Why are you even letting this last in the first place? This doesn't even make sense. Do you even know what you're doing? If nothing changes, I'm reminded that you're good and that you're faithful. And if nothing changes, I will declare that you're good and you're faithful. I will be joyful. I'll rejoice and I will praise you. It's quite a shift. And we spoke a little bit about that part, verses 17 and 18, in a different manner last week with Jehoshaphat, with what does it look like to worship God and to declare who God is and to rejoice in God, even when things aren't going the way we want them to go, even before the prayer isn't answered. And so he comes to this place where he says, even if nothing changes, Though figs don't grow on the vine, though grapes don't grow, though there's no sheep or calves or anything in the stalls, I will praise you. And then he declares this promise. And in this promise that he declares, he says, God's going to make me like an animal. You ready for the animal? Here we go. Verse 19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. It's like, yay, God, give me feet like a deer. Woo-wee, yay, all hell's breaking loose and I want feet like a deer. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's probably not the prayer you've been praying like all day. God, just let me have feet like a deer, right? Like a deer, right? Because when most of us read the English word deer, we think of this cute little deer walking through the grass. And though it's cute, you want to snuggle up to it. No, it's cute. You want to hold it. If you're going through a tough time, chances are, I'm just guessing, you're not going to be like, God, I want to be like that. Mm-hmm. Just like that. No. 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 So is that what he's saying? God's going to make me like one of these little cute deers. And as we know, in Scripture, context is everything. Where Scripture was written, when it was written, to whom it was written, and where geographically it was written, that often gives insight into what was actually being said. And so in the ancient Hebrew audience's mind, they wouldn't have thought of a little deer like this when they read this verse. They would have thought of a Nubian ibex. The vision that they would have had in their mind when they heard Habakkuk say, the sovereign Lord is my strength, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer, they would have thought of a Nubian ibex. These are like some of my favorite animals, just personal disclosure. These guys and gals, this is a guy though, these guys and gals are absolutely amazing, stunning creatures. They're only like 2.5 to 3.5 feet high. So I have some affinity towards them already. I mean, you gotta just give the shorter animals some props here and just say, it's all right, buddy, it's all right. You're still good in my book, right? So they're short, and we won't hold that against them. But they've got like these horns that can grow on the males at least 4 feet long. Their body is only 4 feet long, and the horn wraps around 4 feet. It is absolutely amazing, unless they're like bucked up and ready to like come down on you. And their skulls are super thick, and these horns can just deliver a blow like nothing else. And yet the head of the skull, these horns are also designed to absorb a blow like nothing else. And so when you have two males like you see on the screen and they're rooting against each other or they're combating against one another for breeding rights, they can go on just pounding each other for over an hour. It's amazing. In fact, hyenas, when a hyena eats an ibex, it eats absolutely everything, bones and all, except for the skull. It's too hard. But Habakkuk does not say, the sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my head like the horns of an ibex, and I'm just gonna ram my way through. He doesn't say that. What Habakkuk says is, the sovereign Lord is my strength, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. So we have to ask ourselves, like, what's up with the feet, right? So let me show you a picture of some ibex feet. Well, that's insightful, isn't it? Like, woo, I'm sold, Gerald. Give me some of those, Lord. I want some feet, Lord. I want some feet. So the outside, you've got this hard wall. And on the inside, it's soft and it's cushy and almost a rubbery material. And I know exactly what you're thinking as you're listening to me. Like, Lord, sweet Jesus, just give me some deer feet, right? Hold that thought. This is a picture of the Cincino Dam in Italy. Do you see anything strange about the picture on the screen? There's some little black dots. Let me help you find and locate some of the dots because some of your eyesight's not quite like it used to be. So I've circled in red a few of the black dots. And so the operative question is, what exactly are we looking at? And so let me zoom in on one of those circles and show you what you're looking at. Let me give you another angle of another one. This dam is virtually straight up, and that little guy is 160 feet in the air. In the air. And it's astonished. People, National Geographic did a whole story on it, and what they discovered is in these rocks on the dam, there's minerals and salt, and these alpine ibex that are very akin to the Nubian ibex that we started talking about a minute ago, their bodies crave these minerals and the salt, and they started at the bottom. Apparently, they got rid of all the minerals and salt, and they just climb 160 feet in the air. And as cool as the picture is, it's still sort of 1,000 words, but it doesn't quite capture the God grand design of these animals. And so let me show you a short clip of what these guys look like on the dam. Check this out. These are so cool, right? So they've got, let's go back to the feet because you weren't impressed the first time. So now maybe you'll listen to me. So they've got like this hard outer wall on side of their hoof. And all they need is just like a 16th, an eighth of an inch outcropping. And that's all they need to get that little hoof on and just literally run straight up the hill. And you're like, that's all they need? Yeah, because their hooves are cloven, right? And so they can separate. And so one part, all it needs is that little 16th of an inch. And then the other part reaches down and it just kind of pinches on to it, and they can literally scale straight up the wall. It is absolutely fascinating. But on the inside, where it's soft, when they're trying to get different places, it actually can kind of suction in. It kind of detracts in, and it forms like a little suction. And so they can actually stick to parts of the wall. But if they're running down and they're jumping like 20 or 30 feet from one cliff to the next, that could be dangerous. The soft part of their foot actually protrudes out and makes like this little cushion so they can like fall and catch themselves. And the back feet have the ability, without them even thinking about it, to instinctively go exactly where the front foot was. And so when the front feet are scaling up, the back feet is naturally going to go to that exact same place, never misses, and just keeps going. It's absolutely amazing, these ibex. When we go to Israel, there's two places we typically see the Nubian ibex, and we spend about 2 days in the wilderness. And one of the prayers I pray every morning on every trip when we lead a group to Israel, when we're in the desert, is like, God, I want to see a big ibex today. This is like one of Gerald's big prayers. I've got a few. There's some other things I want to see, but I'm like, God, I want to see an ibex. I want to see good ibex. I want to see ibex climbing straight up a cliff, right? Because I want all my friends, my best friends that are with me in Israel, I want them to see these little boogers go, right? And pictures are cool, but actually, if you're wondering, next January, taking the next trip to Israel. Love for you to go. We'll like go hang out with some ibex. Gonna be awesome. Details in the lobby. All right, back to the regular schedule program. So these guys can scale up. And one of the places that they're often seen is in a place called En Gedi. And En Gedi literally means spring of the wild goats or spring of the young goats. And when we go there, we usually get there early in the morning before other groups get there. And you can literally see, like right in the entrance of this little park we go into, there's like goats, these ibex goats, like right there, big ones with horns, and it's awesome. It's really awesome, unless they do one of those. And then it's like, we just put the guide out there, and it's all good. But you can see these little guys going up and down. A couple years ago, BBC did a documentary called Planet Earth, and in one of the episodes, they actually went to En Gedi in Israel, and they did the whole episode on these Nubian ibex. And I want to show you just a short clip of some baby ibex. They're less than 2 or 3 weeks old, and they're being hunted by a fox. Check this out. That's my favorite part. The fox is like, oh, it's so good, so good. So it's in En Gedi, though. David is here. David is being chased. He's being hunted by King Saul. And he comes to En Gedi, and he's reflecting on these streams, these flowing springs of living water, and he's reflecting on the ibex. No doubt, he's got up early morning, and he's seen the ibex go up and down the hills and down. He actually writes a number of psalms, not just about the streams, but these ibex going to the streams. And in one particular place, he says this, Psalm 18:33. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. And we suddenly discover where Habakkuk got his inspiration from. That he's quoting the Psalms. He's quoting the promise of what King David had said, and it's captured here, but David also writes this in the book of 2 Samuel 22, 34. He says, he makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. And it's as if David is saying, Saul may chase me and I may be hunted for dead. I may be discouraged and depressed and distraught. Everything that I hoped and thought and was told from God that was coming doesn't seem like it's coming, yet this much I know, God, no matter what happens, and it's like he sees this little ibex just run from a fox. And he says, no matter who pursues me or no matter what comes from me, you're gonna give me feet like that. It's as if he heard the voice of God say, no matter what's coming your way, David, no matter how this king hunts you, no matter how he tries to kill you, no matter how everything stacks up against you, no matter how distraught your soul is, I'm going to make you, David, like that. And Habakkuk says, though nothing changes, God is going to give me the ability to stand. God is going to give me the ability to walk. God is going to give me the ability to keep on moving on through what I'm going on. And the thought is this, sometimes the problem's not the problem. And sometimes there's these things going on externally that I'm like, God, would you change that? Would you fix that? Would you remove that? Would you stop that? Would you heal that? Would you deliver that? Would you break that? Would you, and all of those things I believe God asks us to do. But at times, perhaps, those aren't the things we need to direct our attention on. Perhaps there's one thing we need to direct our attention on. This guy went to the doctor and he's like, doctor, I need your help. And doctor's like, what's going on? He said, I have pain. Where's the pain at? All over my body. Like, what do you mean? I have pain all over my body. Everything aches. And the doctor says, you're gonna have to be more specific. Can you show me? Can you point to me where you have pain? And the guy's like, right there. When I touch my shoulder, that hurts. And he's like, right there in my chin, that hurts too. And my abdomen. And as he touches his abdomen, he's like, that hurts too. And my hip hurts. And he touches my knee hurts. And my other knee hurts. And my back hurts. He's like, everything I touch hurts. And finally, the doctor almost exasperated said, stop. Your finger's broke. And there's times, I think, in our life, and we're like, God, stop, fix all of these things. And there's times God invites us to ask for healing. There's times God invites us to ask for breakthrough or to ask for a miracle or ask for something that's bold and audacious. There's times he invites us to pray all those things. And we've talked about that the last several weeks. But there's times, I think, that we're putting our finger on all these things, and God's like, you're asking the wrong thing. You shouldn't be asking necessarily for any of that change, because none of that will change. But how about you pray this? Give me feet to walk steadfast today in the midst of what I face. And this is a powerful prayer. And so Habakkuk says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He makes me to stand. He makes me to walk and tread on the heights. And what we want to do in the last Ramonia moments of tonight is, if you're going through something, if you're in one of those seasons where you feel like, I'm at the end of my rope, I'm over my head, I don't know if I can take anymore. What we would love to do and create some space is, on the one hand, we're gonna worship, and the team's gonna come forward and lead us in worship. But if that's you and you're like, I'm just going through something, it could be relationally or financially or spiritually or emotionally, you may not even know, you just know something's going on. I'm gonna invite you in just a minute when the team begins to sing, just to come up front. If you'd like someone to pray with you, we've got a dozen or more folks that are gonna be up here just to grab hands with you and pray for you. But here's how we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray this prayer. Sovereign Lord, be their strength. Make their feet like the feet of the deer and enable them to tread on the heights of what they're going through. It's perhaps one of the most boldest, powerful prayers that we could pray. And I believe it's a prayer and a promise God wants to answer and do in our lives. Would you stand with me? Maybe all of us, say this after me, would you? The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. And enables me to tread on the heights. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. And enables me to tread on the heights. It's one, I think, one of the greatest promises in all of Scripture. At times, he'll change the situation and the circumstance, and I think we should keep asking him to do so. And yet, perhaps with equal fervor, it's God, but if nothing changes, I will worship you, I'll rejoice in you, I will be joy-filled in you, and you, God, will give me strength. You will give me feet like the feet of a deer to keep moving through what this world brings. Beautiful. So good. So God, that's our prayer. Sovereign Lord, every one of us, you'd be our strength. You'd make our feet like the feet of the deer in every situation we find ourselves in, and we would tread on the heights.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.